All right. This morning we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at Jude, the book of Jude. And we're going to, now it doesn't cover very many verses in these chapters in the book of Jude, but we're going to look at some that wasn't in our lesson just so it'll make more sense. The focus of the lesson is to get us being believers, to itemize ways to affirm the gospel's truth and design a plan to do just that. The name of our lesson this week is called Living with Troublemakers. That's you. For the tape recording, Betty Irvin says that's her. In other words, as Christians, we are to respond to troublemakers in a constructive manner. Now, that's hard to do, isn't it? To be constructive about dealing with somebody that's a troublemaker. You got to be constructive or be positive while you still reject their ideas and their methods. We can't ignore them. We can hope they'll go away, but they won't. And we can't expect other church leaders to deal with them either. It's not, you know, in churches, I don't know how many times I've heard it. Somebody needs to do something. Somebody. Who's somebody? We don't have nobody named somebody. Instead, we need to respond to troublemakers. And they're talking about troublemakers in the church is what the lesson's focused on. But, you know, troublemakers in your life too, you know, because you can be bothered by those kind of people as a believer.
In the workplace.
In the workplace, that's right, that's right. So instead, we need to respond in ways that will benefit the church. Strengthen our own ethics and our theology. How we're going to do that? By staying in the Word and living right the way that we know that we're supposed to. Don't accept false teachers or troublemakers' theological and ethical ideas, because they're neither. They're not theological and they're not ethical. Help believers who are attracted to troublemakers and their false ideas and their sinful methods. So not only keep yourself, and we're going to look, when we look at Jude, we're going to look at how we can do this, but not only keep yourself upright and moral, ethically, and your theology up to par by studying the Word and knowing what it is, but you got to help people. We're expected to help people, other believers that may be being led away. And you see it and you recognize it and you help them and encourage them if they're attracted to false teachers. We're going to look quickly at the deception part, and then we're going to move into the part where we need to work on to be able to fight the deception. This covers 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and 12 through 13. And then the other section, I'm going to put them together. Beware of sinful lifestyle, 2 Peter 2, verses 13 through 14 and Jude 16 through 19. And my commentary said, I don't know if you noticed this, I don't know how many of you read the King James Version, but in your lesson books, the verses Jude 16 through 19 in the King James, they misprinted it, and it's the 2 Peter 16 through 19. They just messed up when they printed. It's right in my book, but I didn't know if any of y'all actually even looked at the King James part, so I thought I'd tell you that, just because it was in my book. Our first set of verses are mostly in 2 Peter 2, where he warns us of false teachers and troublemakers. So let's just look at 2 Peter 2 real quick. It says, "But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. And then let's look at 12 and 13. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals. So, our first set of verses warn us about these false teachers and troublemakers. They were in Israel, and they're here today. They're here with us in the world today. There's always going to be false teachers and troublemakers. And a troublemaker, to me, is a person not just in the church, but just in general. A troublemaker is somebody that is so miserable themselves that they don't know, they're not happy unless they're miserable. And they want everybody else to be miserable with them. And so they delight, and they, just like the Bible says, and they get their pleasure from making other people miserable. So, I don't understand it, but that's the way it is. They will follow their own evil teachings, and they will slander the truth. The sad part of it is that the world is watching. So, if in the church world, believer world, people that claim to be believers, but they are false teachers, the world is watching them. So, they become an example of the world to the world of a believer who is acting like that, and that's why it makes it more difficult for Christians to lead people to Christ, because we got people that are out there causing trouble and making it more difficult. But God's got a plan for them. They have already been condemned, and they will be destroyed. That's the thing we have to remember. God knows what they've done. And they may appear to have had success in this world, but they're going to pay for it. And they will be destroyed. We're going to go back and look at verses 4 through 9 now, because this is where it talks about this. It says, "For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell, in gloomy pits of darkness, where they are being held until the day of judgment." You know, those are the bad angels. That's scary, don't you think? Gloomy pits of darkness, where they will stay until the day of judgment. "And God did not spare the ancient world, except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment, so God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment." So that is comforting. So he will bring us through our trials. That is the proof right there. It's truth, because it's in his word. He will rescue godly people from their trials. So, just remember that the next time you're going through a difficulty. Now, let's just briefly go and look in Genesis chapter 6, which is Noah. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Because those are the verses that talk about what the Lord saw. Genesis 6 is... I don't know how I remember that, but I remember that Noah is Genesis 6, and now Sodom is Genesis 19. So we'll look at that in a moment, too. verses 5 through 8. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. In verse 8, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Noah was the only one in the whole world that wasn't evil. The Holy Spirit's the only thing that keeps it from being that way right this very moment. So now let's flip over to Genesis 19. And let's look at Genesis 18. We're going to back up. Genesis 19 is the good stuff that happens. 18 is where the bad stuff. So we're going to look at Genesis 18, verses, start at verse 20. So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. The other men turned and headed towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. And Abraham approached him. And then the next several verses talk about Abraham. He was bold in asking, well, if there's 50 people that are good, are you going to destroy the whole thing? And the Lord said, yes, I'll save the 50. And then he goes, well, what about his 45? And he worked him all the way down to 30. So he was very bold and brave, you know, and talking to the Lord like that. And then let's skip over to verses, you know, and then the two angels came and Lot tried to save the two visitors because the men of the town were, and they were men, and they were going to rape them. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah was awful. So let's just look at 27 through 29 in chapter 19. Let me make sure I'm in 19. Flipped over, I think I am. Yep. It says, Abraham got up early that morning and hurried out to the place where he had stood in the Lord's presence. He looked out across the plain toward Sodom and Gomorrah and watched as columns of smoke rose from the cities like smoke from a furnace. But God had listened to Abraham's request and kept Lot safe, removing him from the disaster that engulfed the cities on the plain. So he burned. He burned. And Sodom and Gomorrah is where his wife turned back and turned to salt. She didn't believe. She did not believe. So those things are, so that is mentioned in 2 Peter. Peter didn't forget Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible likens these false teachers and their ways to the bad people during Noah and Lot's time. The world, the whole world, but one person. That is just, I mean, just think about that. They were present then, and they are definitely present now. So now let's look at Jude. Because Jude is where we're going to find, and Jude is just one chapter, 25 verses, and that's it. It's a letter. Jude was James's brother. Jude gives us instructions on how we're to be in the face of the dangers of false teachers. So how well do you follow instructions? When you're trying to put something together, I know this is a room full of women, so we do pretty good. If there's a room full of men, I might get a different answer. They throw the instructions away, don't they? I know. They look at them later. They dig them out later after they can't find all the pieces and parts. But how well do you follow the instructions to the letter? Do you even read them? Or do you follow them partially? When you're putting something together, I know y'all have put something together before.
Oh, yeah. I read it.
You read it.
I usually read them and go by the diagram if they got one.
The picture. I know. I love the picture. Pictures are worth a thousand words, aren't they?
Look at the diagram and go by the picture.
Yeah.
I read it first, though.
Try to make sure it looks like what it's supposed to look like. That's right. So let's look at Jude's instructions. The first one, let's look at verses 20 through 25 in Jude. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you great joy, and bring you with great joy into His glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to Him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are His before all time, and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. So, the first thing He gives us, these are the instructions that we need to fight off and to war against the false teachers. Build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Now, how are we going to do that? We talked about things we needed to do last week. Prayer, reading the Word, staying in God's Word. I read in something in my devotion this past week about... Do you give 2 hours to a television program and you give 10 minutes to God in the morning before you start your day? But I kind of look at that 10 minutes might make all the difference in the world if that's all you think you have, and then you just gotta want to study it and know it. The next one is to pray consistently in the Holy Spirit, and I feel like we all do that because we've seen a lot of prayers answered in this room just since I've been up here teaching. Keep yourself safe in God's love and await God's mercy, who will bring us to eternal life. So that's what we're waiting for, God to come and get us and take us out of this, show us by His mercy and give us eternal life. So have you always followed these instructions? I know it's hard, and because we live in this world and we're just saved sinners, so it's not always easy. Have mercy on believing Christians who doubt. You know, if you know somebody and they're a Christian, but they're doubting, they may have some sort of reservations about their faith, or because of false teachers over there trying to tell them some other kind of mess, have mercy on them. And that means to be compassionate towards them, be kind and gracious toward them, and help them see the error of their ways. That's what He wants us to do. Those who doubt, people that are swayed by false teachers' persuasive arguments, because some people may not stay in the Word. They may be weak, and they may not be on their game. And so a false teacher can see that, and they can tell them something, and they go off in another direction. It's so easy. And you may know somebody that's happened to. Those who are about to be burned, snatch them from hell's fire. Help those who have bought into the false teachers. Have mercy on them, but hate their immorality. Just because you have mercy on somebody that has bought into that and believe it, and you know that it's false, and you know that they have been led astray, you don't have to buy into what they're doing to try to help them. You can still be their friend, I believe. That's what God wants us to do, to try to help them to see the error of their ways. But do this with great fear and caution. You have to be careful. Be wary of being contaminated by the people you are trying to help. Because while you're trying to help them, and you're strong in the Word and your belief, they're going to be trying to lead you and convince you that you're the one that's wrong. So you have to be careful. But just remember to show mercy. Show mercy. Jude closes with a beautiful expression of praise to God. God is able, this is the last verse, God is able to protect us from stumbling. He's able to keep us safe from false doctrines and lifestyles. He makes believers stand in the presence of His glory to appear faultless and jubilant before Him on Judgment Day. As long as we do what He wants us to do, we are going to stand faultless and jubilant in front of Him. So in summary, be on guard for false teachers, because, you know, we're not exempt from them. It may be a little more difficult. I would like to think that we are people that false teachers would say, probably don't want to mess with them, you know? Guard yourself against them. Grow spiritually. Continue to grow, no matter how old you get. Continue to grow spiritually. Reach out to those believers that you feel like are wavering and teetering on the edge of going into something they don't have any business going into. Depend only on God to help you respond to false teachers. If you encounter one and you're going to have a confrontation, don't depend on your buddy back here. Don't depend on any of us. Ask God to help you, and He'll show you how to deal with them. So let's listen to the very last part of verse 25. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are His before all time. Before time began, He had all that. In the present, He's got all that. And beyond all time, He's got all that. He's got all glory, majesty, power, and authority. So we need to remember that. That's who we rely on. That's who we believe in. And that's who has to help us help others with the false teachers. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
False teachers can make it look pretty.
They sure can.
Just like the